Never ever in the history of the church has people been so aware of the coming of Christ as it is in these days. And therefore, I know that we should all be excited about that and we should all be ready. So we are all going to move house soon. I promise you, soon. So let's get ready for this big move. Let's see what God wants to share with us. When we move, God showed me three areas. The first one was the area of things that we need to leave behind. And I promise you, just start going through your house and you see how many things you have that you can actually leave behind. But you know what? When Jesus stands on the clouds that day, when he's coming to fetch us, then he is going to expect us to leave things behind, lots of things. Because you cannot actually take anything with you. We'll get to that later. But there are things that we are definitely going to leave behind. And the first thing I just want to talk about is the thing of memories. You are going to leave memories behind on this earth that other people will look at. And I promise you, some of us are going to go, or the ones who accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, are going to be taken up into heaven. But some people are going to stay through the tribulation. But there are people that's going to stay through tribulation who will get saved. But they will have go through hell. And people, they need the memories of our lives to encourage them. They will need it, I promise you, because it's going to be a terrible place to be in when Jesus leaves with us to celebrate the wedding feast. And therefore, I want to ask you this morning, are we sure that we're leaving a memory for those people to be encouraged by? Now, you know, it's difficult sometimes when I stand in front of my boss and he's nasty to me, as a Christian, to be kind and gentle and accept his authority over my life. Are you going to leave a memory to your unsaved boss that will encourage him to go forth? Are you like Jesus, that you will stand before him and not fight back, but love him with the love of the Lord? When your husband is not with the Lord and you are, are you leaving a memory behind for him to encourage him to walk the difficult road? Are you the loving wife that God expects you to be? Or are you the fighter? Or are you the one who wants to change him? Again, and I say this so often, and I know the women must be tired of me saying this. You are not your husband's savior. You are not his teacher. You are the one that needs to love him and to put him on the throne where God wants him to be the leader of the house. The same with the husbands. It's not your job to save your wife. It's not your job to force her into the kingdom. It'll never work. God's put you there to love her. To love her so much that she will crumble and fall into the lap of the heavenly king. And the next thing we're going to leave behind is hurts. You know what? Thank God we're going to leave that behind. Yes, we need to give it up already now. Because you know what? Hurts are going to keep you from leaving good memories. If you not now get rid of your hurts and get over it. I know Lucille always says, get over it. And I'm asking you this morning, get over your hurts. Jesus Christ has saved you into heavenly places. Leave the hurts behind. Yes, deal with it, but get over it. The more you sit and cry over your hurts, the longer it will take you to get to the place of complete handing over to the Lord God Almighty. So let's get rid of our hurts and move on. You know what? If we set other people, if we say to other people, I forgive you, then I am setting myself free and that other person. As long as I'm angry with people who hurt me, the longer I'm tied down. And the more they are tied down, never to get to the Lord. So let's get rid of our hurts before we leave. The next thing is our failures. You know what? If we stay down and we do not get up, we will never get to the end of the road. And yes, we all fail in lots of areas. Last night, the head boy of our hostel came to us and he said, you know what? Long ago, my dad was asked to leave his job. And he's worked for this company for many years. And we were so stressed and we were angry with his boss because he told him to go. He says, but you know what? If he didn't let us go, my father would never have had the guts to start his own business. And today, he has a good business running very well. So see, sometimes God needs to just push us over the cliff to just get us going. And to get us off our chairs and get us walking the road that he wants us to have. So let's forget about our failures. Let's build on them. Let's use them as a building block to go up and build a building that's never been built before. The next thing is we need to leave our wants. I want this. I want that. So many things that we want. And you know, when you go to heaven, you don't need it anymore. I'm not saying that you can't have some nice things. I'm not saying that. But there's sometimes, you know, there's a boy in the hostel, he said, you know what, he doesn't believe in the Lord because he's prayed to the Lord so many times to give him this and this and this, and the Lord never answered him. So the head boy took him and he sat down with him and he said, you know what, I wonder, you played North Boland rugby. I wonder who helped you to do that. You know what? You've been running your life was quite smooth up to now. And have lots of things. You have talents. And you are able to study. And you are your dad and mom has the money to send you to this hostel, to this school, to come and learn here. He says, do you really think there's no God? And you know, that changed his mind just like that. So let's stop wanting. Let's start just being grateful for what God has given us today. We're so busy with our wants that we forget to do the things God wants us to do. The next thing is we need to take something with us. And the only thing that we can take is the love of Jesus and his salvation. So let us all make sure that I am safe in the heavenly places. Yes, that I can spiritually go to heaven when he comes to fetch us. Am I ready when Jesus stands on that cloud and he beckons, come, and the trumpet sounds? Are you ready to go and go with him to celebrate the wedding feast? Make sure. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior so that you will be able to join the crowd going to celebrate this wedding. So yes, we can only take our salvation with us. The next thing is, now we need to prepare for my new citizenship. And this is what we're going to do today. To see how am I going to do this job. And you know what? I have a secret for you. You'll never get to the end of it. You will keep on preparing until the day that Jesus stands on the clouds. But you know what? If you don't prepare yourself, you will go into the heavenly kingdom and you will not be able to do what God really wants you to do. He has a great plan for each one of you in his kingdom. But you cannot fulfill that properly if you are not prepared. You know, I've often wondered, why does God allow us to go through all these ups and downs and, you know, laying down of sins and giving up things and struggling to get there. Why? And then to die and go to heaven and just worship him. Until I realize, but God is not going to stop there. He needs us to be strong and ready for what he has in store for us in heaven. Now, we are going to look at this new this preparation time through, by means of the three altars in the Bible. Now, the first altar was the stone altar. We read about that in Joshua 8, verse 30 to 31. We also read about it when Abraham offered Isaac. We also read about it when Noah left the ark. They took stones and they built an altar to worship God. And now, these altars were built in different places. And you know what? Abraham was, when he offered Isaac, he had to actually go and fetch the stones and build this altar. Now, in Israel, the Jews believe that the same stones that that Adam built an altar with was left on that mountain. It was the same stones that Noah used to build his ark. And it was the same stones that Abraham used to offer Isaac. That's what the Jewish people believe. But we know that what's important to us is that those stones are needed to build the altar. And also when the Israelites went through the Jordan River, they built an altar when they got to the other side, and even in the middle of the river. So that's the stone altar, and it had to be built whenever they needed to bring an offering. They couldn't take it with them. Now, the stone altar is for us to explain to us that there are things in our lives that we need to give up. And the first thing is that we need to get to that place where I give up my life to Jesus Christ and become saved. I'm born in a Christian family, so I'm a Christian. No, no, no. I must make the choice. And it doesn't matter. You know, I always believed that I'm a Christian, and I know I prayed really earnestly when I was little. But I only accepted the Christ when I was in standard 9, grade 11. So it took me quite a while to get to that place where I realized that I've got to make the decision. It's not my parents' choice. So, yes, we need to give up our will to the will of God. The next one is sometimes God asks us to give up things. Like he asked Abraham to give up Isaac. Like he gave up his own son. So sometimes there's something in your life that God will ask you to give up. And sometimes it's something that's very dear to you. Sometimes you've got to give up your comfortable life and go to a mission field. Sometimes you need to give up money that you are really precious, that you saved for something great. But God says, give up that money. Or there's different things for different people that God expects you to give up. And people, we really need to get to that place, because giving up brings freedom. Look what it did to Abraham. If Abraham didn't offer Isaac, I don't even want to know what would have happened. But you know what, like one guy once said, you know, God was looking down on Abraham and thinking, I'm going to offer my son one day. I wonder whether one of these people will do that for me. And Abraham did. Abraham gave up his son. And God actually lifted him up and said, you will stay alive. Like Jesus was resurrected. And so, yes, we need to give up things. And then we need to build. Yes, and we sometimes it's just once in our life that we've got to give up something big. Sometimes it's more than once. But this is something that, an altar that we need to build. But you know what's amazing about these altars? Joshua said that they were not allowed to use iron chisels to chisel these stones to build the altar. They had to use the stones as they were and build this altar. And a chisel is made of iron. And iron is always a symbol of war. So let's not war against God when we need to give up. Let's just give it up and give it to God and just release ourselves to come to his work. The next altar that God is going to expect us to build is the bronze altar. And that was in Exodus 27, verse 1 to 2. Now, in that chapter, God explains very clearly to Moses how he had to build this altar. And it was also an altar where they offered animals. It was made of bronze, covered with bronze, and it was made of wood. It was like a grid. And it was for slaying animals and letting their blood flow as a symbol of forgiving sins. Now, you know, we also have an altar in our lives, and it should go with us every day. Because the Israelites had to take that altar with them wherever they went. So yes, we have an altar in our lives that we need to take with us every day. And this is the altar of preparing our lives to come in line with God. Yes, this is the altar where we kill our flesh. Because we all know that we are actually three, the body, the spirit, and then our will. But you know what? Our spirit man starts off this small. And it can grow bigger and bigger, but it can only grow if I feed it on the Word of God, if I feed it in time of prayer, and if I kill the flesh. The more I please my body, my flesh, the bigger it will grow. The more I feed my spirit man, the stronger it will grow. And you know what's funny? As your spirit man grows, your flesh man gets smaller and smaller. So yes, this is a battle that we're going to battle throughout our lives. And it means daily I've got to give up my anger. You know, this person drives me crazy. Whenever that person comes into a room, he or she irritates me so much. And you know what? God says, give it up. Start loving that person. Start praising God for this person in your life. Start praying for that person. Start blessing them. And you will see the difference. Just keep on. Don't give up. And then the next thing is, we sometimes have jealousy in our lives. You know, the boss says something nice to one of the other workers, and I think, and why does he never say that to me? Don't allow a thought of that in your life. Get rid of it. In my garden, I have some weeds. In Afrikaans, we call it enkieskweek. Now, I don't know how many farmers and gardeners know that this is something you just don't get out of your garden. It's a constant fight against it. You pull it out today, and then six more comes up next week. So it's terrible. And you know what? Sometimes when I work in my garden and I pull out those weeds and I look for their little bulbs, I think, you know, this is exactly in my life. God sometimes sends me to hunt for those things in my life. Not sit on it all day long, get it out and throw it in the fire. But don't throw it somewhere where it can grow again. Throw it in the fire. That's the best place for it to go. So things like lust, and you know, things like self-pity. I think us women are good at that. We like to make that grow. You know, you feel so sorry. Your husband says something without thinking. He's not so nice to me today. He hates me. And before you know, you start making this big thing in your mind, and he's not even aware of it. Self-pity, be careful. That can really get us down. And keep us from, and then reactions. You know, we react so quickly. Look in our staff room sometimes. Our staff will sit and the headmaster will say something and immediately some will react. Before he's finished his sentence, they react. And I sometimes smile and then I think, shame. You know what? You actually made a fool of yourself. So let's think before we react. Then the next thing is, at this altar, Satan is very good at accusing us. He likes to accuse us all the time. He sits there on your shoulder and he says, you know what? You are guilty. You are not good enough. And you know what? It makes it so hard for God to come through to you, to give you what he wants to give you, to bless you the way he wants to bless you. So let's not listen to the accusations of Satan. You know what's the best thing to do? I always say to the little ones, my great ones, I always say to them, you know what? If the devil says that, you just say, go in the name of Jesus. And you must see them doing it. They stand with their hands on their hips and they say, go in the name of Jesus. You have the authority. God gave it to you. Let's get rid of those things. And then we need to carry on. We need to never stop. Because God promises in His Word that only those who will keep on, who never gave up, they are the ones who will get into the kingdom. Now the next one is the golden altar. And I just want to stop there for a while. Exodus 30 verse 1 to 2, you will find the description of the golden altar. Now you know what's amazing about this altar? It has a band around the top of the altar that looks like a crown. So I call it the crown altar. This is God's. He loves it. He loves us spending time at this altar. And you know what? This altar does not need blood offering. But this altar needs for us to be intimate with God. To spend time with Him in the Holy of Holies. This altar is also an altar for daily sacrifice. The priests went into the holy place and they brought this offering unto God every day. Now, when you need to go into this place, you need to have what Chris was talking about this morning, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, your time with the Lord is just so much greater. It's just so much more real. It's just so much more precious. And therefore, we really need to get to know the Holy Spirit better. Because He is the one that leads us into that holy place. To come before the throne of the Most High God and kneel down. And He will pick you up. And you know what's so great? He puts you in His lap. And He holds you. And He takes away all the pain and all the hurts. And He makes you feel so secure. Next one is, in this place we learn to really pray. Not thank you for my bread and thank you for my house. But really pray. Really know how to intercede for others. This is the place where we learn how to worship the Most High God. Worship Him for the one He really is. Now for this golden altar, they used 11 incense. Now it was herbs that they used to crush. And it was like, some of it was like glue. Like the gum on the gum trees. They took that and they crushed it. And then they threw it over the fire that they brought from the bronze altar. So these 11 incense is also a symbol of the 11 prayers that we can pray. So I just want us to go through that quickly. The first one is intercession. When we pray for others. And you know what? Intercession prayer, sometimes God puts a thought of somebody in your mind. And you think, why am I thinking of this person today? You know what? Just pray for that person. Maybe that person is in need. Maybe that person needs your prayers today. And maybe you don't know what to pray for that person. Now, when you do the course about the Holy Spirit, you will learn how to pray in the Spirit. And we pray in tongues. And you don't know what you're praying for that person. But lo and behold, God knows. He knows because the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray that prayer. And therefore, the Holy Spirit will help you to pray for that person exactly what they needed. So, yes, that's intercession prayer. Yes, sometimes we know what to pray for them. And like Chris said this morning, somebody is sick and God just shows you. This is where you should pray for them. And it's great to know that. Then the next, you know, I just want to share this with you. At our school, we had problems with the people that we rent our buildings from. And it was a problem. And we started being angry with these people. And one day we are three ladies praying for our school every week. And God just showed us that we need to start praying love for these people. Acceptance for them and just bless them out of their socks. And we started doing that. And 2 weeks later, my headmaster came to me and he said, "Won't you go with me? I need to go and talk to these people, but I want somebody to witness that what I said, so that nobody can say all kinds of things. And so, and just come with me and pray while I talk." And you know what? I couldn't believe the change. When we came in, we could see how angry they were with us. And after, when we finished, we could hug each other. And we could go out with joy. And we received so much blessing from them. They allow us things that we could never do before on their premises. And it was just so exciting to see that God really heard our intercession prayer. The next thing is when we bring our needs before the Lord. And we say, "Lord, there's really things that I need. We all know that we can't go without money. And sometimes you really rock bottom. And you say, "Lord, where must I go now?" And yes, then we can bring our needs before the Lord. Sometimes I just need some love. And I say, "Lord, I don't feel loved." But you know what? We first got to acknowledge it. We must get to that place where I can say, "I need love." Maybe I can't understand why I'm always angry with people. Do you know what? Deep down, there's a hurt that you never dealt with. Deep down, there's a hurt that you never got rid of. Maybe you must start praying for that. Maybe you must just go to God and say, "Lord, I need your love to just flow through the cracks and the hurts in my life." Then the next thing is we need to confess our sins by name. Not, "Lord, forgive me my sins." I'm sure it doesn't even reach the first heaven. Let's pray and say, "God," be specific. "God, today I lied. Lord, today I was angry. Lord, today I spoke about other people and I really condemned them. Forgive me, Father." And the next thing is to confess our faults. Yes, we all have faults. We all have things that we're not good at. And say, "Lord, I'm not good at this, but please, Lord, I need your help to get over it, to get going." So we need to confess it and say, "Lord, I'm not so eager to go and confess your name. I'm a bit shy." Yes, I can tell the Lord that. And you'll be surprised how he encourages you and help you. The next one is the prayer of agreement. When we agree with other people, when we agree with scripture, we pray scripture over people, and we agree in the spirit, or we agree with other people. My great ones are just so amazing. I've told them about the fact that if somebody prays, the others must listen and share in that prayer. So I explained it to them. I said, if one person prays, there's a rope, like a rope going up to heaven. And if the other person joins in that prayer, agreeing, then there's two ropes going up. But you know what? I said, if we all pray, then we 14 ropes going up to heaven. And that's really strong. Yes, they all agreed to that. So the next morning, we have a little girl in our preschool. And she was crying constantly. She's only 2 years old. So in the morning when her mommy leaves her, she starts crying. And believe me, she cries until 1 o'clock. And her class is just under the stairs and our class is just above the stairs. So we hear her all day long. And she screams. And she cries nonstop. And then they got her to sleep some days. But some days they can't. But the little one sat in the class and they said, "You know, Mrs. Opperman, I think we should start a prayer chain. And we should all together agree for this little girl." So put our pencils down and we prayed. You know, it was just so precious. These little faces just closing their eyes and so eager to pray for this little friend. And we prayed and God was so faithful. 10 minutes later, she stopped. And she never cried again that day. And you know, she stopped completely. Because the day after she started and then they said, "We hear a cry, we'll pray." So they just started praying on their own. And it was so good that God was so faithful to teach them this lesson when they're only 6 and 7 years old. So let's get to that place of agreement where we agree together and it makes it just so much stronger. The next one is me just get to my confess. Yes. The next one is prayer of healing. You know what? I often discovered that we just go and yes, we need to pray for all the sick. And we need to go to them. But you know, sometimes God tells you to go to a specific person and tells you to go pray for that person. I don't know whether it happened to you, but it happened to me. And then I'm scared. And I said, Lord, but I've often prayed for sick people and they were not healed. I just don't have the gift of praying, healing. So I don't think I should do this. And you know, we are just so unfaithful because God can use anybody. If He calls you to do it, He will be there with you and He will help you. So yes, we can pray for healing. And then the next thing is the prayer of binding demons and binding the human spirits. Now, there are things that when you come into a room and you feel there's an uncomfortable thing and you don't quite know. And you see one person getting up and that person is constantly taking over, constantly being negative. Just start praying in the spirit. Just in your mind, just say, Lord, I demand these demons to stop operating. I've often seen it. Spirits of depression, you come in, you see the depression on that person's face and you just turn your back. And just, they can hear very well. They pretend they can't, but they can. And you turn your back and you just say softly, in the name of Jesus, you demon of depression, I command you to go. And you bind those spirits. And you know, when you bind those spirits, then you can speak to that person. And then they will listen to you. So, yes, we have the prayer of binding demons, but also human spirits. Now, we also get human spirits, people who want to control us, who want to take control of us, who want to really manipulate us into doing things. Then we can pray against that spirit and bind it. The next thing is that we can loose people. And how great it is that we can pray for other people to see them being set free, especially the spirit of depression. If you see people just coming out of it. I know I've often spoken to you about this lady that I walked with. Now, it's now about nearly 10 years that we walk the road together. And the other day she came to me and she was just so excited. And she said, you know, I am free. I can now trust the Lord. I know now that He loves me. And she goes out now and witness to other people. And this is what's so great. That we, through our prayers, can loosen people. And another thing that, and also of a curse that comes through a family line, we can loosen it, we can break it. We can say, in the name of Jesus, we break this spirit that's coming through our family line, and that we can release us from that. Then the next thing is the prayer of thanksgiving. Yes, first of all, thank you, God, for who you are. Please, people, this is so important. Have you ever said thank you to God that He's light? Have you ever said thank you to God that He's love? That He's the truth? That He's the bread of life? Yes, that's what we should start our prayers with. Worshiping God and telling Him how great He is. And the next one is then we can start saying thank you for the things that we have. Then the next prayer is the prayer of tongues, when we pray in tongues. And we don't know what we're praying, but that's in the spirit. You know, while I was preparing this, God just showed me the story of Esther. Now, Esther that was summoned to the king's palace to become one of the ladies that the king had to choose from to become the queen. And you know what's so amazing? I read this book and she had to prepare herself for nearly a year. She was prepared. You know, her body was rubbed in with beautiful fragrant oils. She had to bath every day for hours in this fragrant bath so she could prepare herself to come before the king. And you know what God says? My spirit is the water of life. My spirit is oil. Are you rubbing your body in with my spirit? Are you so full of my spirit that you are soaked with it? You know, God showed me, I'm so guilty about that. Because every day I'm so busy, God can just give me a splash every morning. Because I just run for the next thing, doing things. And we never get to that place where we can just soak. You know, you don't have to soak for 3 hours. God does a good job in half an hour. But let's get at least to that half an hour. Yes, and as we sit there for half an hour, we'll later on want to sit for an hour. And we will get so intoxicated with His Spirit. We will be so fragrant. You know what? When you walk down the street, people will notice this person has something in them that nobody else has. If God's Spirit so soaked you, you will go into your house and your family will know that you are soaked with the Spirit. So let's get to that place of soaked in the Spirit. And the next one is this prayer of understanding. Yes, that we understand. I know my friend is in need. She's very sick and I need to pray for her. That's when we pray with our mind and we pray specific prayers. Now, there's some things that's similar. I'm nearly finished. There's the four corners. These altars were all squares and they all had four corners. And the four corners were for the four parts of the earth, north, west, east, and south. And that means, the symbolic meaning is that it covers the whole earth. All of us are included in God's altar. God wants us all to get to that place. God wants it. It's His longing of His heart. And then Christ died on an altar so that His blood could flow for all of us, for the whole world. Then it had four horns. Now, the horns were on the corners, and they were there for people to hold on to. Especially when somebody killed somebody else by accident, they could run and hold on to this altar. And this is so great that God gave us those horns to hold on to when we fail. Or when we make mistakes, or when we sin. And then all the altars were for God's glory. It was always about God. And then also, they had to have these altars there for a lifetime. And yes, we need to have them in our lives. And we need to do that until Jesus comes. There's just something I want to share with you. It's just a saying. We see things the way we are. God promises us to help us to see the things the way He sees it. You know, we often have, when we fight with somebody, somebody says we're sitting in two trees. I sit in my tree, you sit in your tree. We look at the problem, for each one from his own tree. When are we going to get out of our tree and join the other person and look at the problem from their side? And then this last one is... His revelation of His word progresses as we study the word, and He gives us the power to overcome. And therefore, I want to encourage you today, stand bold, use your altars, and worship God and wait patiently for His coming. Let's just close our eyes.